Amen. We salute you today as well on this Black History Day. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that you have already prepared. Heavenly Father, sit me down completely, Heavenly Father, and let me be attentive to your word once more and again, Heavenly Father, as we share, Heavenly Father, the word, Heavenly Father, through your servant, Heavenly Father, that you have already made ready, Heavenly Father, to deliver your word, Heavenly Father, before your people, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you right now. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We magnify your name right now. And we say thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do. Lord, thank you for keeping us, Heavenly Father. Now go with us, Lord. Open up our hearts and open up our minds, Heavenly Father, to receive the bread of life that keeps us, holds us, leads us and guides us by way of your Holy Spirit that's already imputed into us, Heavenly Father, from the beginning of time until this very moment, as it communicates with us and speaks to us and humbles us, Heavenly Father, in this life. In Jesus' name I pray. Let every heart say amen. If God is good, why don't you shout and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know he's brought us from a mighty long way. Amen. Real briefly. Amen. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I ask that you can stand. Amen. Our scripture reading. Amen. Reading from the 16th division or the 16th Psalm. Amen. Key scriptures, verses 8 and 9, amen. Reading from the King James Version and also the New Living Translation, amen. You also may have a New International Version, amen, but we do understand that God's word changes not. It is used. Amen. It's his inspired word is used to instruct, guide, lead, rebuke. Amen. And give you understanding so we all can be like-minded in all ways and all things. The 16th number of Psalms. If you have it, please say amen. You say, well, I got it. Preacher is on the wall. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Let's go. Amen. King James Version. Amen. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Tell your neighbor, I have set the Lord always before me. Listen, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Ask your neighbor, what you running for? Stop running. Therefore, verse 9, my heart is glad and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to hold you long. I'm going to read the next one myself for you. Amen. This is teamwork. Amen. Psalm 16, 8, 9 in the New Living Translation also says that here's the confirmation here. Here's the power, the confidence, the assurance, the security of knowing that God is there for you. Because here in this text, it says, in Psalm 16 and 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, I know. I know. That sounds like somebody that's been through something. I know what God can do. I know what God has done. I know what God is going to do. Amen. I know the Lord is always with me. How often is he with you? Always. I will not be shaken, not even by the things that's going on in the world today. I will not be shaken. Why? Because my Sunday school teacher tells me who is now Sister Bullet. But my godmother, Sister Daniels, Mary Daniels, said that God is always in control. For he is at my right side, right by my side. He's right here by me. Guess what? No wonder my heart is glad, because he's right here by me. And I know that. And because I know that, I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Rest assured, with God before you, there's nothing that can hinder you. There's nothing that can harm you. Somebody need to tell themselves that today. God is before me. There's nothing too hard for God to do. If it's sickness, there's nothing too hard for God to do. That person that needs to change their heart and change their mind and show love, and whether it's you or them, there's nothing too hard for God to do. So we look here at the subject of our text today, and we see that the word of God and the message from God, who inspired all scripture, that are used for guidance, instruction, rebuke, reproof, comfort, and more, so reconciliation, so that man, woman, and their unredeemable self may have someone to help them find their way out of darkness, sin, and into a life of righteousness, uprightness with God. Please understand that the word of God is not a band-aid for a temporary situation, although it does come in different forms and shapes, I've learned. When I used to go get a band-aid, it was just one color. Now we got different colors, and we got characters, Deacon Johnson and Brother Bobby on, and now the kids are very excited to get hurt. I'm still trying to rationalize with that one. But the thing is that it's something that draws them to getting healed when you flip it. But here we see that the word of God is not a band-aid for a temporary situation, although it does come in different forms and shape. Its purpose, like God, never changes. But know, unlike a band-aid, that God is the ultimate source. Everyone needs to obtain eternal life. See, you just can't throw God away like a band-aid. You just can't put God to the side and let him flow in the wind when you're tired of it. For he does more than heal. He gives eternal life to the believer and an internal condemnation to the unbeliever from the choice they have made not to serve the Lord. This is why the word says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. So if you're going to hell, that's not God's fault. That's by your choice. He so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's in his word. Though I just jumped ahead of myself, but that's all right, because use us, Holy Spirit. So here, the meaning of this subject is for us to understand that having God before me and before you is more than just a mere testimony for me, just like it was for David. For God is my life. Do we have any witnesses in the house today? God is my life. And just for the theological and historical note, amen. From a theological and historical note, we understand that 150 canonical Psalms were organized in five books, but the basic theme of Psalms is living real life in the real world and understanding as a believer in Jesus Christ that God is before us and he is mighty in power and he is waiting to help his children, the church, the bride of Christ, in any moment. We also note that the book of Psalms are arranged for worship and direction for the Christian believer. It's a guiding tool and a warning for the enemy that tries to hurt you and me, or even try to misuse you and abuse you, no matter if they are even related to you or not, or they just a friend. One has to know that I belong to God. Is there any here that belongs to God? Somebody said, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, like the song says, I belong to God. You can't make me not doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. Why? Because I know too much about him. And this is why sometimes I even have to go before God. This is why sometimes you have to go before God. He's always before you. But when we look at that thing, there's a deeper meaning within of where we need to meet God where he's at. Because God is already in the next. He's already prepared the way. But we need to meet God where he's at. And we can only get there by praying and fasting. So that power is drawn out to help us in the time of need. So here we continue to share. Because with God before me, nothing can stand against me. Therefore, God says, we ought to love and love you one another, for I am love. If you want to be where God is, these are the requisites that we have to do. No one can love God and hate, dislike his brother or sister, meaning each other. The word of God helps us get understanding, which is key to obtaining and strengthening our faith in God. The Psalms were the hymn book of the Old Testament Jews, and most of them were written by King David of Israel. The Psalms of praise brings about and creates within oneself a foundation of consistency and truth that causes one to reflect and look back over one's life and say that the Lord has shown up, like my grandmama used to say, shown up, been good to me. And realize he is my foundation. He is my hope. He is my peace. Why? Because he, God, has always been there before me. I come by to let you know, in the morning, in the noonday, in the midnight hours, with God before me, I have not just someone or just somebody. Do I have a witness in the house today that I can trust in and turn to? Do I have a witness in the house today? But I have the Almighty, all-knowing. Do I have a witness in the house today? Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is my right hand, at my right hand, and he's all that I need to help it, to help me through the times of trouble. We see what's going on in the world today. But there's nobody that can take care of what you're seeing today better than God himself. We do understand that also that things are predestined. The word is being fulfilled today. How do you know? Because it's in the word. And this is why I trust God and I know and he loves me. My flesh also submit. It tells us that. In this text here, David shares with us, but we need to make it personal. My flesh also submits because the spirit in me calls it, and everything in my image. Why? Because I am created in his image. My being, my makeup of him causes my entire being to obey and do his will. If anyone is struggling with that, you need to stop running. I did state that first warning in the beginning, right? So therefore, I not only rejoice, but I also can rest in the Lord, meaning that I can have peace because I know he is good. And I know that he is God. And above him, there's no other. So in Psalm 16, we find hope, a feeling of expectation and the desire for certainty because God's plan that has gone before me through Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and coming again of Jesus Christ, my true and living Savior, he is, yes, he is, has set before me a reality in knowing that without God, I can do nothing. You remember the song, Without God, I could do nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without God, my life would be so rugged. Oh, just like a ship without a sail. So in Psalm 16, we see how we are to occupy and wait patiently on the Lord, like David did. Even though he faced many challenges, even though our ancestors faced many challenges, so that we may obtain the gift of eternal life through salvation. The psalm is attributed to David in the Psalms, the book of praise. The ultimate headliner here, we find out that God is the author, as the psalm points to God in the authorship and date in the Bible. So God inspires King David to write from the human side, so one can relate to realities of today and be able to identify with the truth and living God. And knowing that everything that we need, everything that we go through, he knows all about it. Do I have a witness in the house today? I guess I'm going to get a happy all by myself. Don't mind me if you see me crying. It's because I don't mind telling somebody about God. Amen. And it's not because I have a title of a preacher. Before I was a creature, I'm a child of God. And that covers everything. It's not about the position. It's about the purpose. And we got to learn to allow God to pour into us. And in order, mother, for us to allow God to pour into us, we got to open ourselves up. And we're looking for other people to be transparent, but then we don't want to be transparent so somebody can really see the true you. Well, I don't mind, Bobby, because I'm not perfect. I'm dirt. But I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So when God sees me, he sees the true mark. I don't know what this 666. Yeah, I know. I know the word of God. Amen. But I truly understand what the teacher experienced when the question was asked, do you love Jesus? She said, yes, I do. He said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do y'all remember that? Do you love Jesus? Yes, I do. He took a life. We're not realizing that you actually helped her get where she was already going. But you thought that you did something. That was a choice, a worldly choice, that individuals are making today because they have no foundation in God. Right now, parents have stopped parenting. I say it again. Parents have stopped parenting. The children are trying to parent. What you mean? The parent that's supposed to be the parent is listening to the child that has taken on the parent role, and the child is given instructions for the parent to do versus the parent giving instructions and guidance for the child to do. You'll catch that. And because of that, it's causing so much havoc in the home that actually leads out from the home to the street. And this is why there's no respect. This is why there's no love for one another. We got to come back to the fall. We got to come back to the fall. As a body, we got to continue to pray more. We got to continue to fast more. I had a good conversation with Deacon Johnson in regards to the youth and our children. Amen. And this great man of God understands that we have to continue to plant regardless of the circumstances that we face. And continue to spread the word. As long as we do the planting, God will do the rest. But the question is, for us that are called Christians, have we planted? Well, I'm a plant. That I hope I never hear a Christian say that. Is the word 90? You have the word of God, the prophetic word of God. And not only that, that word of God is in you. This is how I know. I know God is before me. So moving right along, I'm getting some funny faces. I thank God there's a shield, right? Amen. Amen. So the psalmist shows us here who the true author is. But the biblical footprint here and the note to follow in the text is to understand that here, for he, God, made a way for Israel. You remember back in the scriptures here, he made a way for Israel. We see that David here is to write from the human side. One can relate to realities of today and be able to identify with the true and living God in the now. Even right now, as we see the world changing and the Bible being fulfilled, as God says in his word, for he God made a way for Israel in the beginning of time, as he, somebody say he, spoke through Moses, and he spoke through Joshua in chapter 30 and verses 11 and 20, and then also in chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. And Israel, learning at the era and age of their time, a reality of which they were in. There was doubting, there was confusion, there was anger. But in his word, he said back there that he would never leave you nor forsake you. So here, the biblical footprint continues, and it shows from the beginning of David weaving together back here in Psalms his personal testimony of trust in the Lord. And he started it off with a prayer. Somebody write that now. How do I start it off? Pray. For prayer is what? Prayer is communication to God, but more so, prayer is the key. Faith unlocks the door. That's number two. Write that down. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. Huh? If you believe, it shall be done. I remember the words of the song said, he'll hear every word you say, and while you're calling him, he's on his way. Prayer will what? Fix it every time. How do you know that? Because I used to sing the song. Amen. I was about 7 years old. They say, look at that little preacher. No. I say, whatever God's will is, that's what it would be. David in verse 1, he mentally, spiritually, and physically at this time set himself apart from the things happening in the world to controlling himself with the word of God, which is God's. Oh, God is always in control. As he states in verse 1, preserve me. Write that down. Preserve me. Go before me. That's what he says. Preserve me, O God, for in you, meaning in God. Yes. In past times, in you. Yes. In present times, in you. Yes. In future times, in you. With you, O Lord. See, you have to put God in it. You have to keep God in it. And you have to leave God in it. And David says, for in you I put, I place, I keep, what? My trust. My soul says, you are my Lord. And my testimony says the same thing, and it shows. It shows the goodness of God. By me letting my life so shine that other men may see. So therefore, I will have nothing to do with false gods and fake things when I can have the real deal. with God before me. I will have nothing to do with even the people that are even pursuing false things. Confirmation in the word this morning. Sometimes you have to let go of some things. You have to not deal with some people. But in that, you still have to show love for them. You still have to pray for them. You have to pray that God will keep them. And all this is because I stand for Jesus and Him alone. Oh, yes. Know this, church. Know this, the one that is looking to accept God in your life. I can have righteous fun in life. It doesn't take anything away from me going to the movies. It doesn't take anything from me from listening to a singer sing. The thing I need to make sure is that they don't become my idol of worship. Even God loves good music. You say, how you know? It's in the Bible. Not only that, we're created in His image, so you know God loves good music. And I'm not going to tell a lie here, but you can sing. How you know? Because I was taught by one of the greatest pianists I consider in the world. First Lady Frankie Johnson White. Individuals that said that they couldn't sing, Bobby, you know how it is. See, I want you to play that note. Play that note right there. Listen to it. Get that note. Hey, you can see. Right? Somebody said that's not singing. Yes, it is. It's singing to me as long as I stay on my note. Do I have a witness in the house today? All right. Yes, Lord. Coming to a close here. Here we see David states the blessings of God. Verses 5 and 7. God before him. God before him. And he shares through Old Testament metaphors to describe the blessings of God. But this psalm, this 16th psalm, also carry a deeper meaning within itself, brother reader. As I move to a close, it's more about the prophetic revelation of Christ and his resurrection. That's shown in verses 10 and 11, when you read all the way down, that provides the believer a better way of life. And he shared that with David. Because then it's also confirmed of that sharing, and because Peter and Paul even witnessed to it back in Acts 25 and 28. Amen. I'm not showing off. I don't show off. I don't believe in competition. I don't do that. I instill that same thing in my children. You are your greatest competitor. If you fall short of something, it's because something was missing. So let's examine it. The reason why. If you feel, because God is always in the blessing business, but if you feel that God is not blessing what you're doing, let's examine it. Am I talking to somebody today? Yeah, because I'm also talking to myself. You got to understand, when the word of God comes, it comes to the messenger before it goes out to the messenger. I have to make sure that I'm walking the straight and narrow before I could tell you about the straight and narrow. I can only share. How should they hear with the preacher? That's the word of God, right? So here we find that the key scripture here today is, I know the Lord, me before God, I stand. I know the Lord is always with me. Do I have a witness in the house today? Do you know that the Lord is always with you? I will not be shaken. Anybody in here scared? You shouldn't be scared, because you serve an almighty God. You serve an all-powerful God. Why are you fretting? Handle it. Why? How am I going to handle it? Well, you can handle it, one, because you have security. One, you have assurance. Two, you have insurance. Did you know that? How do I have? I have security because he is my shield. He is my king. I have assurance because he is my shepherd. He is my avenger. And I have spiritual insurances because he is my redeemer. He is my provider. He's my healer and deliverer, for he never sleeps, nor does he fail, nor does he fall short. We just need to remember that he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. So from the beginning of life, the believer, and to the end of life, for the believer in Christ, these three points shared today truly makes the difference. And we need to hold on to them. So that way we have confidence when we face our trials and tribulations. We need to understand here that everyone that says that they love the Lord and believe on him in him must answer this question before the Lord himself. Do you love the Lord? Do you believe in the Lord? But we take note to what also John 3:18 says, that whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So the choice is yours, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's his name? Do you know him? Do you believe in him? Do you trust him is a bigger question. Is he the head of your life? See, I'm not afraid to tell the world who I am in Christ. I am a true, unwavering Christian that's striving. I'm striving. Key word, write that down. I'm striving to stand on the profession of my faith in Christ. Yes, I am a baptized believer, a Christian that has been spiritually dipped and raised up in and by the Holy Ghost power of Jesus Christ within me. And I have been adopted into the Godhead family, for I once was lost, but now I'm found to life, a committed life with Jesus, to serving him forever. We need to know that your faith should be one of action and intent before a man, to not waver. Because he tells us even in Revelation that I wish that you was rather hot or cold. So if you're gonna confess it, you need to confess it now. Not later. Why? Because even scripture tells us is that tomorrow's not promised. Not only that, scripture tells us that there's going to come a time where, guess what? It's going to be too late. So this is why I say it now. And I mean it. God is before me. God is beside me. God is behind me. God is above me. God is within me. And I'm going to continue to put God in it, keep God in it, and leave God in it. You say it. God is before me. God is beside me. God is behind me. God is above me. God is within me. I'm going to put God in it. I'm going to keep God in it. And I'm going to leave God in it. God is before me, because when the wicked, they tried to come up and terrorize me and hurt me, I have to have God before me. God is beside me because he is the right hand. He is my power. Anytime I need to call on him, Jesus. Anytime I'm faced with anything, Jesus. God is behind me because guess what? I don't have eyes behind my head, but because I am a child of God, he won't let anything harm me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God is above me. And this is why I praise him, because he's always looking down over me. And he's got me covered. But most of all, guess what? God is within me. So I need to make sure that I'm being obedient to his word and I'm obeying his word and I'm walking in his image and not my image. Because if I trust myself, I might not wake up. But with God before me, every day is a new day. Closing. I'm not afraid to tell the world. My prayer and plan is having God live in me and live in you. So he is the one that's working through me and working through you. Yes, I am. I'm going to let my light shine that the world may see that Jesus in me, because God is before me. And I know the Lord is always with me, and I won't be shaken, for he is right beside me. And no wonder my heart is glad, because he wakes me up in the morning. He's given me my health and strength. He's given me the activity of my limbs. And David says, everything that I am, everything that I will do in righteousness is because of you, O God. So glory, all glory is because of you, O God. My loving heart, the wisdom and the knowledge is because of you, oh God. Created in your image, oh God. I have been given spiritual intelligence and the ability to know right from wrong that started in the beginning, even as I learned from humanity's first father and motherly mistakes of Adam and Eve. I have learned how to lean and depend on the Lord. And most of all, I've learned how to repent. You must repent. If you've done wrong, you must repent. If you thought something wrong, you must repent. Me before God. There are those that are out there that's not worried, but they have to choose this day whom they're going to serve. To lean on the Lord requires you to trust God and let him work a work in you. Do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:16, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The best way to learn and trust the Lord in difficult times is to go to the promises of God. God's word is loaded with promises that teach us about having faith in God during any trial and tribulation, in season and out of season. That means good or bad times or sad times. God changes not. You must remember that you have the best of the best. He changes not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. For his word tells us not to worry. Just pray, and he will give us peace. Unimaginable peace. But most of all, before we extend the invitation, I must tell you what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk, meaning we live, by faith in Jesus and not by sight, which we see in man. With God before us, every step of the way, because don't rely on yourself, because things might not even go your way. And I am not trying to rhyme here, but with God before us, every step of the way, our attitude changes, Deacon Johnson, our walk changes, our talk changes. And we begin to live the life that God has called us to live. And as you stand before God, we must remember that God helps those, the believers in Christ, who seek him and worship him. This is why Psalms 95:6 says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And Psalms 103:1-3 says, praise the Lord. Thank him. Oh, my soul, all my innermost being here, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Look at what God has done for you. Is there anybody here that can stand up and give God praise for all the things that he has done for you and not be ashamed of the things that he has done? Somebody was sick. He healed your body. Somebody was a drug addict. He healed your body. Somebody was addicted to this and addicted to that. God knows. But is there anybody that's willing to give God the praise. Lastly, my confession to the one that's looking for a new life. I sought God's word for help. And I found the most precious, precious one with an unconditional love. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And all I had to do was remember this verse in Psalms 25, verses 4 through 5. It says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow and lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope and trust in you. Amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Amen. As we stand, amen.